morning. José Vélez speaks, President of Grupo Argos. I thank you for your participation in this call, in which we will discuss the results of Argos Group for the third quarter and the first 9 months of 2013. With me, we have Ricardo Sierra, VP of Finances, Ricardo Cabellos, VP of Corporate Issues, and Nicolás Valencia, Director of Relationship with Investors of the Argos Group. In this teleconference, we will analyze the main amounts of the report that was sent to you yesterday, and in addition, we will share with you the facts and relevant information of the business of Argos Group. At the end of the call, we will destine a space to answer your questions. This teleconference is being translated to English so that simultaneously, in any case, we remind you that all our communiques and also the reports of results, information, relevant information, and presentations are published in Spanish and English in our portal for investors in the page www.grupoargos.com. In this same internet page, we have made available the presentation that will follow during the teleconference. To download it, we direct it to financial information and then to the section reports. You will find in the number 3 and file called Presentation 3T2013. In the third quarter of the year, we continue presenting positive results in the different businesses where we invest. In the business of cement, Argos shows growth in volumes in all markets where it operates. In the business of energy, Celsius shows financial results that are positive thanks to the balance that it presents the management of, based on its two technology and the good hydrology conditions in the south side of the country. On its part, in the ports, Compass continues its growth plan for investments in ports in Colombia and in Houston. And finally, in the real estate business, Citcom continues strengthening as a player in real estate and urbanism in malls and corporate centers. Before entering to consider the financial results, we indicate to observe that slide number 3, where we highlight some relevant facts that we want to share with you. During the third trimester, we reached a series of recognitions that makes us continue consolidating Grupo Argos as a company with high standards in transparency, ethics, management, and corporate governance. Among the same main recognitions, we are part of the Global Sustainability Index of Dow Jones. This import index measures the sustainability of the largest companies in the world, highlighting those that have good practices in the dimensions of economy, environment, and social. Grupo Argos and our subsidiary Argos are part of the group of companies included in the Global Index of year 2013, according to the classification that for this effect is defined by Robeco Sam, a Swiss firm operator of the index. It is part of the Global Index, 333 companies around the world, taken from 2,500 companies that are assessed yearly by Robeco Sam. Of these 333 companies, only 6 are from Colombia. And also Grupo Argos and Argos are 2 of the 30 Latin American companies included in the companies that are formed by the Index of Emerging Markets 2013. We highlight that Grupo Argos is part of the Global Index of 2013 in the first year of assessment independently. We have to take into account that Grupo Argos reports to be assessed in the experts in sustainability of Robeco Sam's, the indicators of performance in the environment and social of its filial companies, especially those of Argos. This is in the development of our corporate policy to keep high standards of sustainability in the companies where Grupo Argos invests. Grupo Argos obtained score of 84 points to enter the index, and at the same time, Cementos Argos reached a score of 85 points. In general, we achieved substantial progress regarding 2012, a year where we reached 73 points. This year, we obtained 84 points in the economic dimensions, 81 in the environment, and 87 points in the social dimension. And the same way, it is satisfactory for us to tell you that the company was included in the GC 100, a new stock index of the United Nations that combines corporate sustainability, the commitment with values related to human rights, the environment, the labor norms, anti-corruption, and social and financial performance with the World Pact of the United Nations in cooperation with the with Sustainalytics, GCCN. It represents a representative group of 100 companies in function of its degree of adhesion to the 10 principles of the World Pact as the commitment of executive leadership and the levers of profitability. In the same way, and continuing with the recognition received during the third trimester, Grupo Argos was selected to preside the company circle in the meeting of the body in September this year in Buenos Aires, Argentina. The company circle is the roundtable for Latin America of good corporate governance. It was born in the year 2005 in Brazil as an initiative of OECD, Organization for Cooperation and Economic Development, and IFC, International Financial Corporation, and the World Bank, and having since then the financial and support of the Global Forum of Corporate Governance, GCGS. The main objective is to disseminate good practices and manage knowledge among the companies of the regions that are leaders in corporate governance. The previous recognition is proposal to continue with transparency and commit us to continue growing sustainable with our high standards of corporate governance. Regarding the financial results, we highlighted in the slides 4 and 5, you can observe the most relevant numbers of financial statements that are consolidated and the graphs that explain the behavior of income, EBITDA, and net profit. Starting in slide 4, the first 9 months of 2013, the income of Grupo Argos in consolidated were over 5.6 trillion pesos, a growth before the same period of 2012 of 13%. The EBITDA consolidated of Grupo Argos was close to 1.5 trillion pesos for a growth of 14%. By the part, the EBITDA margin was located at 16%, in line with what was reached in the same period in 2012. The net profit consolidated of the company was 191 billion pesos and is not comparable with the net profit of 410 million pesos of the same period of 2012, because in that period we have extraordinary profits that were not recurrent in Grupo Argos for 47 billion pesos and in Cement Argos for 277 billion, product of disinvestment. And the same way, Cementos Argos had an increase in the tax income tax for 2013 of 54 billion pesos, but the effect of different in exchange in its investments abroad. If we exclude these effects, the net profit increases 15%. In the slide number 9, we can observe the general balance that is consolidated to September 2013. The assets were up to 28.3 trillion pesos, growing in comparison to 2012 in the same term. The liabilities are 8.9 trillion pesos and are reduced by 3%. On the part, the patrimony adds to 13.2 billion pesos or trillion pesos, growing 13%. We are satisfied with these amounts and we hope to continue this tendency for what is left of 2013. Before speaking of the individual financial results, we remind you that as we have done in previous times, along with the result of reports, and we have sent you an explanation in detail that analyzes in detail the individual financial statements. The information that has been sent has a comparative explanation of the income to September and supposes the accounts of participation and dividends and income for participation and sale for sales of investment. And also in the same document, we do the analysis of the operational data and the account of method of participation. All this with the objective that you can have the more detailed information for your analysis. In slide number 10, you can see the financial statements that are individual. We have included the comparison of the amounts of 2012 and 2013. normalized, the income of Grupo Argos were close to 380 billion pesos and are reduced by 32%, the same effect that we explained that is not recurrent of net profit in Cementos Argos and generated mainly by sale of shares of Cements Argos in 2012. When we normalize the income, they have an increase of 20%. On the part, the EBITDA was located by 257 billion pesos and normalized, it grows 11%. The net profit arrives to 192 billion pesos. In the coming slides, you see the main amounts of the balance, general and individual of Grupo Argos. The assets sum 1.2 trillion pesos. They grow before in comparison to 2012, and it reduces 15%, and the total patrimony sums up 14.5 billion pesos. It increases 3% in comparison to December 2012. We now pass to the business of cement in the slide of 12 and 14. Argos presents a solid third quarter that contributes positively to the cumulative results of 2013. We highlight the positive contributions of EBITDA in the three regionals where we see a positive outcome of $9.7 million in the regional of the United States for the third quarter. The first dynamic of the region in Colombia in the third quarter of this year supported in residential construction and construction, commercial construction, good volumes and financial results of the regional for Caribe. In the regional Colombia, we continue progressing the process of operational excellency. It has generated so far savings of 6% in the direct cost of cement production. Also, the regional presented a growth in the volumes of dispatch of cement, despite the effects generated by the strike, general strike in the month of August, and the business of concrete has solid performance with an increase of volume of sales of 14% in the quarter and 12% in the 9 months of the year. This is a consequence of the strategy of strengthening the industrial business through a greater focus in infrastructure. In the regional in the United States, the best dynamic of volumes and prices observed during this year, along with the better operative reception, had a positive EBITDA of 7 months to September 2013, and this represented an increase in EBITDA for the year of 302%, reaching for the first time in the past 4 years a positive value of $8.6 million in this period and $9.7 million in the third quarter. By its part, the regional of Caribbean has a positive tendency of growth with volumes of sale of 10% in cement and 23% in concrete of what we have seen of 2013. These are pulled mainly by its most important market, that of Panama. We have to highlight that during the third quarter, the company signed a contract for acquisition of the cement operation of Lafarge in Honduras, Central America. Passing to the financial results, the company sold in the first 9 months of the year 7 million of cubic meters of concrete. That is an increase of 9% and 8.5 million within of tons of cement, growing 4% in relationship with the same period of 2012. In this way, Cementos Argos had operational consolidated income close to 3.7 billion pesos in the same period of 2012. It's a 12% increase in pesos. The consolidated EBITDA adds 245 million pesos when we compare it to the first months of 2012. Also, we see an increase of EBITDA of 7.4% compared to 18.4% of the same period of 2012. On this part, the net profit was located in 301 million billion pesos. As we see in previous results, this is not comparable with the profit of 2012 because in this period we generated extraordinary profits that were not recurrent for 377 billion pesos. And we exclude the effect of the net profit with an increase of 105%. We now pass to the results of the business of energy between the slides 15 and 17. Before talking the most relevant aspects of Celsia, it is important to mention that at the beginning of the third quarter, we announced our intention of participating in the process of acquisition of Isagen, a company that we consider that has the excellent administration, the high quality of human talent, and the national and international impact of its management. In this sense, we consider this is an attractive operation consistent with the strategy to fix our presence in the energy market in Colombia. Presently, we are waiting for the final regulation of the sale process by the part of the government that is going to be published in the coming weeks. Passing to the most relevant facts for Celsia, we highlight the plan for expansion where we continue moving forward in the Cucuana project of 75 megawatts that completes 63% of progress to September 2013 with the successful finalization of the excavation works of the three tunnels and clarifying this way the geological risk. We also have the works in the capture of Cucuana of 47%, San Marcos with a progress of 36%, and the total progress of the construction of the transmission line of 45%. In matters of social and environmental issues of the project, we have a progress of 72% in educational infrastructure, 20 in community aqueducts. By the part, the project Bajo Tuluá of 20 megawatts had an investment of $128 billion to the third quarter of 2013, and this represents a progress of 79%. We hope that the central begins its commercial operation in the fourth quarter 2014. In the business of distribution, the main projects undergoing are the construction of the substation Alferes II, the expansion of substation Tuluá, the provisions of service and extensions of networks of low, high, medium and low voltage, optimization of the network and expansion of the variation circuits of Lago. In the Department of Valle del Cauca, in relation with Project Fortunito, we continue in the process of preparation for the response to ANLA, and in the same way, the National Agency for Environmental Agencies. And we have to highlight that we have to highlight that we have a 91% of progress in the elaboration of the technical design, final designs, and also having the manuals of characteristics of the most of civil works and the totality of the equipment. This with the intention that the company be best prepared as possible to initiate construction once it gets the environmental license of the project. Regarding the numbers of the country, the energy generated in the first 9 months of 2013 reached 4,500 gigawatts an hour, that is 9.8% of the total production of the system, of the SIM system. Of this generation, 56% was hydraulic and 44% was thermal, keeping the balance in technologies that has been presented since mid-2012. The operational income that was consolidated was close to 1.8 billion trillion pesos, increasing 18% before the income in comparison to the income in the same period in the previous year. The consolidated EBITDA was 651 billion pesos, an increase of 14% before the first year's months of 2012, and EBITDA was 11%. The net profit was 205 million pesos for an increase of 8% before the same period the previous year. We remind you that the details of the results of Cementos Argos and Celsia are found in the respective websites. We now pass to the results of the real estate business in slides 18 and 20. CITUM continues with its growth plan regarding the real estate urban growth, and the company moves without delays in the construction of urbanism or in the sector of Buenavista and Barranquilla. The subdivision has 12 hectares and a potential for construction of 1,036 housing units distributed in 12 lots. On the other hand, regarding the issue of leasing, we continue investigating opportunities for investments in malls and corporate offices. Regarding the amounts observed in slide 20, the incomes of CITUM in the first years of the months of the year was 9,400 million. Of these, increasing eight times or eightfold before what was reported in the same period of the previous year. EBITDA was close to 19 billion pesos, in comparison to $15 billion in the previous year. We have to highlight the good dynamic that has been presented by the business and the good results that we have seen in the line of real estate and properties for lease. This allows us to forecast that the budget of income and EBITDA are going to be complied with in 2013. We now pass to the results of the during the third trimester of the year. Compass moved forward in a strategy of international coverage, taking on since September the operation and commercialization of the South Center Cement Terminal in Houston that is property of Cementos Argos. We have to highlight the dredging and construction of the road that will have access to the port of Agua Dulce, Buenaventura. And also, we have to highlight the arrival as shareholder of PSR, Port Singapore Authority, to this project that, along with ICTSI, International Container Service Terminal, Inc., from Philippines, they will manage everything referring to investments and operation of the container port. The presence of PSA reaffirms the importance that we hope we'll have in the national and international context, that terminal, that for its technological characteristics and its natural berth will allow the larger ships that, as a consequence of the expansion of the Panama Canal and the free trade agreements, will arrive to the country. PSA is present in 17 ports in 20 countries. We continue the construction of modern facilities for solids, bulk solids in Tolú. We will have a plant for solid for balanced food in 2014, and Barranquilla operations for import and export of hydrocarbons sector, where we have started operating recently. Regarding the results, as we commented in the conference of the second quarter, this has been affected by a reduction of the load volumes of containers because of the reduction of transfer cargo to Venezuela because of the operational problems in that country and the reduction of frequencies of the Naviera Colombia. For understanding this business, we now explain in further detail the behavior of container cargo and the general cargo in Compass. In the slide 23, you can see that the operational income of Compass during the first 9 months of 2013 overcame 74 billion pesos, growing 7% in comparison to the same period of 2012. This is generated by the small attention of ships that went from 505 to 425 in 2013, and this generated a smaller amount of containers that would manage. And by September, there was a consolidated reduction of 9%, where we see a fall in the transit containers of 24% due to the reduction of consumption of Venezuela that we mentioned previously, and a fall of 21% in the containers of exports and imports that have a greater weight in invoicing. Nevertheless, we highlight the good behavior that continue presenting the bulk load and general cargo that has a growth of 16%. We observe a growth of 72% in coal, and that it does not compensate the fall of containers because it's a cargo of lesser invoicing. For better understanding, the details of the movements and management of cargo can be seen in slide 24. The accumulated EBITDA without taking into account the key change in infrastructure, because it's a financial operation, goes to 19 billion pesos, and it grew in comparison to the same period in the previous year. This amount, because of reduction of income, greater expenses to expansion plan and investment with which the company has, and greater weight of the administrative structure after the fusion that we have with some projects, and that in the future will generate a greater generation of EBITDA. We now pass to the business of coal between slides 25 and 27. The Stator continues with the exploration campaigns in the carbon areas, and its main asset in Puerto Libertador, Cordoba. We concluded the drillings that were performed, and we analyzed the campaign drillings of previous years. With this, we will receive in the coming months information by appropriate York of the results obtained in an area of 1,600 hectares and the measures for an area of 10,000 hectares. Regarding the present operations, despite the difficulties of the sector and the problems of the operation that we have in the mine, Eperijá, and that has been commented in previous conferences, the company has registered positive behavior in sale of coal from underground mining, having a better behavior of increase in volumes and in income. Also, we have to highlight the recent subscription of an important contract of supply where they would deliver a maximum of 1 million tons coming from Sumedh Thermal in a term of 4 years for a project for thermoelectric power generating in the area. Regarding financial results, the income of SATOR in the first 9 months of 2013 come to 40 billion pesos, reducing 5% of what was reported in the same period last year. But we have to highlight the increase of the income during the third quarter of 2013 and 5% in comparison with the same period the previous year. The EBITDA was located in 11 billion pesos before 337 million pesos in consolidated way, and as we commented in our previous conference, the three businesses that we have undergoing urbanism and properties for lease, ports, and coal mining, even though they do not contribute so much in income for EBITDA, where you compare it to our Argos business, we have to see that these are business under development or relevant assets that we can grow, develop, refocus, or complement with our present business, allows us to have a very interesting profile that we expect is attractive for investors. In the slide number 28, you will see the profile of our corporate debt. September 2013, the consolidated debt of Grupo Argos grew to 107.99 million pesos, and the cost of debt closed in 2013 in 5.5% effective yearly, and it is well compared before the present cost of corporate indebtedness. Passing to slide number 29, you will see the total amount of consolidated assets of the company, where we find the strategic investments and portfolio, and you can see the interesting diversification of sectors with the specific weight of the same that we made reference to previously, and that show an important potential in the generation of value when we compare the total value against the capitalization of the market of the company. Lastly, in slide 30, you can see the cash flow of Grupo Argos, and you can see the reduction in the financial obligations. Before closing this teleconference, we reiterate that we will continue working to keep the positive results and our close relationship with investors and shareholders. In this last line, we want to share with you a fact that fills us with satisfaction. We were given the recognition ER with Stock Exchange of Colombia in the third quarter of this year, and it highlights those that comply with the highest standards of corporate government, in special referring to the sufficient and adequate supply of information to investments. In this way, we want to invite you to download the application for Apple of Grupo Argos that is available to the public, where you will be able to see news, information, and details of the company in a friendly and fast way. This communication channel is directed to all of you so that you can have the most accessible information through an iPad or iPhone. In the coming days, you will be able to download it from Android equipment. We thank you once again for your participation. We give the floor to the operation to begin the session of questions and answers. Monserrat, thank you very much, and you can continue. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, I want to remind you that to make a question, please press asterisk in your dial and number one in your phone. If you want to make questions, use the we want to collect a list of questions and answers. Your first question comes from the line of Roberto Ricardo Nicolás, thank you for your call and congratulations for the results. Some questions referring to the different businesses, maybe beginning with the side of the ports. what is the timeline that you expect for the Houston operation, and what are the expectations regarding the use of capacity? Yes, thank you. And I tell you a little bit of the Houston project. Cementos Argos had a port for cement use that was being used or underused because the need of importation of cement in the Texas region specifically had been eliminated because of the fall of the cement prices in the United States. So it is an asset that clearly has the potential of being used for other uses in ports. We worked with Compass. Compass has not operated. The port is going to make investments in $4 million of adequations to have ships of greater berth and also be able to cover different types of cargo. Cementos Argos continues with the cement terminal with its warehouse for loading and unloading cement to be able to use it whenever it might be necessary, but the Compass is going to use the other part of the terminal in these types of cargo. There are many interesting possibilities with Houston and Columbia to be connections in the issue of transportation of hydrocarbons and the issue of general cargo, for projects and eventually grains. So we see interesting possibilities. It's a very favorable agreement for all of us, and we hope to be able to have at the beginning of the first semester of next year this port in operation. Felipe, I would like to complement data that Ricardo provides that is very relevant. This is an area that port that has 26 acres that is an important capacity for its development and growth, and the other element that is connected to one of the railroad lines in the metropolitan area in Houston, and the other element is that we are connected by railroad 6 miles downtown Houston. This is a spectacular location. This is, we have 41, 46 feet of berth, so it is fairly large. Well, thank you very much. What do you expect in terms of use? At what speed are you going to start operating in the first quarter? You know how, what speed is going to be the ramp up? The truth is we're starting to do the commercial contacts. We have some tiers of present use in general cargo movement that is not using the port more than 20-25% of its capacity, so that we have a potential, a growth potential that is important, but we do not have a plan of use that is very strong, that is still yet designed. And on the other hand, now that the construction of the road and the dredging of Agua Dulce began, do you have a timeline for that port too in Buenaventura? Yes, I tell you a little bit, and I review to all of us that are listening to us on the Agua Dulce project. The Agua Dulce project is on the other side of the Buenaventura Pond. It has a separate access to the one that we have for the city of Buenaventura, that it gives a strategic advantage because of the logistic ease that this location provides. The agreement that we have with the partners of this port is that we are going to develop the bulk terminal, the general cargo terminal, and the Port Authority from Singapore and ICTSI, the Filipinos, are going to be doing the container port. So the strong investment is going to come by the part of our partners from the container terminal, and we are going to have a lesser investment that is, we see is going to be over $120 million to manage the general cargo and bulk terminals. The initiation of the dredging operations should be finished in some 6 months. This is going to place the port with the levels of natural berth and the adequations and capacities of receiving ships over the ones that are received by the city of Buenaventura. So it's going to be give a possibility of import and export of bulk cargo that is very important, and a reduction of logistical cost that is important, and this is going to give a lot of competitivity. We expect that that port be ready in a period of 3 or 4 years, completely finalized, and that it enter into operation. We are very happy with this alliance, and we consider it's going to be an important development pole for our development in ports and give us a very competitive competitive position in the Colombian Pacific. Today we have a port that is called SEMA. It's ours. It's a bulk port, and it is at full capacity. That port is already having problems. We cannot receive any more cargo. We're making small adaptations to be able to receive cargo of soda that is the only one that would be available. So the extension in Agua Dulce for us is very important and relevant. Okay, thank you very much. And on the side of C2, you had good results. I think that is connected with the fact of the problems of paperwork that you had and with the titles. And we want to see if there are good results in this, and you can speak of Palmas de Rio that is part of Rio Mar, or is something that is separate. C2 has been generating a very interesting dynamic. We were able to overcome that difficulty that we had with the record of the land, and we have started to give titles to many of the projects that have been generated in the past 6 and 9 months. You're seeing the results, and you're seeing the next quarter dynamic of titling and sale of lots that is very interesting. I tell you that the different projects and lines that we're developing in the city of Barranquilla continue in progress. We have projects for resident housing in all economic levels with excellent partners, and this is going to allow us to have a variety of segments covered that are very interesting. And in this issue, we're very happy. I think CITUM has a very good dynamic, and we see this as a scenario that is interested in the future. I want to add something that is the dynamic that Barranquilla has as a city that is important for the development and growth, urban growth of Colombian cities that are close to the Caribbean, close to the markets like the United States, is basic. So there is an attraction by constructors to Barranquilla, and also CITUM has that pieces of land that are so important in the city, gives it an important advantage. Also, I would like to talk about the specialization of a management group or administration group, because there you see the advantage of having these businesses that are independent, because you can give many more resources for management and administration, for development, and for progress in those businesses. And I think those two combined situations are very important. Maybe Ricardo would comment something of the project Palmas del Rudo. Basically, the information that we gave in the complex code is a project of 2 hectares. It's going to have the possibility of having access more than 1,200 housing units. There are many constructors that are interested in the country. The dynamic of the other cities, the reduction of work in Bogota by the part of construction companies has taken them, that using the dynamic that Dr. Velez mentions of the arrival of the good dynamic of Barranquilla, this has allowed there to be a lot of interest of companies to arrive there. This is a project that we see with good potential, and its level of absorption is going to be relatively fast. The absorption level is the speed of absorption of the market by those 2 hectares, and we think that in 2 years we would be placing the totality of that project. Those hectares are part of the 700 that you had from Rio Mar? Yes. Okay, thank you. It's part of the same project. Okay. So maybe the last question that I have is the certification of resources. Do you have a timeline? I think the report said that in a few weeks you were expecting to have results. Yes, this is a process that is going to take a few months. We continue working strongly with J.P. Boyd, and what is good that we were able to certify the process of exploration that was done in previous years, and this has allowed us to expand the area with which we're going to have data of resources and reservoirs. Okay, thank you very much. The next question comes from the 9, Jairo Arguera with Bancolombia. Good day to all. I have a question. It is basically, you have seen that there are several stations that are interested in the process for ISAGEN. If this happens, I would like to know what would be the financiation capacity that Grupo Argos would have to be able to participate in that process. Obviously, this capacity, we need to know how to place portfolio warranties and what would be the estimate of how much would be placing multiple warranties of the portfolio that you have. Jairo, we are with the financial capacity to be able to cover the operation. The financial structure that we're designing is going to follow the regulation that's going to come out. And this regulation has not been issued by the government, and we are waiting for it to come out so that we're able to be clear on which would be the optimal structure to be able to cover that project. So while we do not have that, we would not be able to give you detailed information on how we're going to structure it. But at this time, we could say that we have the financial capacity to cover the project in the conditions that had been foreseen initially by the government. Okay, thank you very much. Okay, we have a question from the line of Francisco Suarez, Scotiabank. Thank you. Good day. Thank you for the recognition of the good performance of the portfolio. One question on the side of ports, if possible. What could you say, given that now there's going to be a change of the characteristics of the shipments with the terminal, how many needs of CAPEX and equations to the present ports would you have, and you can give an estimate of quantification of how much this would be? Hello, I tell you that the Compass strategy is a strategy of having multipurpose ports. And this is an advantage, a competitive advantage that is important. It gives us much more stability, and the CAPEX requirements are lesser than a container terminal requires. Container terminal requires investments of $400, $500, $600 million. You see in all of the Americas and in the Caribbean very aggressive projects of new terminals to cover the new ships that are going to be able to go through the canal. We are not in that business. We are in a business more of general cargo, of cargo for projects, of Impo-Expo cargo, and not containers, and this allows us to have long-term relationships with industrial clients or traders that use the terminals for their specific loads or cargo. So our CAPEX units are smaller. We're doing investments in all ports, and we are going to tell you about Buenaventura in the part of the Atlantic. In Tolu, we're finishing up grades to be able to receive grain, food grain, towards the last quarter of this year. This is going to open a new line of activity there. We're expecting to do upgrades to bring cargo projects through that terminal too. Regarding Cartagena, we're finishing upgrades that are going to allow us to expand the container patio that are or yard that arrive in ships that have different types of cargo, and among those containers. We are doing upgrades to be able to manage greater cargo towards the interior of the country, and in association with Sabra, Sindenos, and Abocol, we're starting to develop the port of Buenavista in the same bay of Cartagena, where we're going to have an area of 45 hectares for a logistics zone for port services that we offer. Now, in Barranquilla, we have started the adequations or upgrades of an issue of hydrocarbon cargo that is starting to operate, and it's going to generate important income, and we're finishing the engineering to be able to develop better adequation to cover cargo of food grain. As you can see, all those investments are not investments that are going over $20 or $30 million in a period of 3 years, but these are upgrades that allow us to cover our present customers and potential customers that are going to benefit from that logistics of multi-locality that Compass has that makes us different in the market. Thank you. Very clear. Thank you for your explanation. And now, facing your part, the question is, but I see that our intentions of using and seeing the dimensions of the business, what is the affectation in Houston for what you explained now of the characteristics of the port in Houston as in the spaces that could be in Colombia, of being able to begin to see some development of industrial real estate properties and the possibility of leasing them, and I do not know how the possible operations of Senandis back that could implement the possibility of those business in the industrial space, but also in the commercial space and for office space. Francisco, in the issue of in situ, situm in the part of property, we are basically at this time closing the businesses of shopping malls that we have committed to. We have with the project in Villavicencio that is undergoing construction. We hope to open in September next year, and we have the commercial projects that are being assessed in the area of Antioquia. That is what we have in the area of property. In the other property, we also have leased some land and industrial zones for Cementos Argos. And we are now generated a project of a corporate complex in the city of Medellin for a multinational that wants to settle in the city. That is one of the some of the projects that we have right now in the area of property and leasing regarding Medellin. Okay, given the dynamic that you see, in particular in Houston, that is very interesting, you do not see also the possibility of being able to do something regarding the part of Torre Quinta to be able to offer leasing space to? Well, Francisco, I would answer in the following way. I think that the real estate business and development of a real estate or urbanization that we have experienced in Colombia, especially in the city of Barranquilla, and the business of property, of leasing, et cetera, and building shopping malls and renting them or leasing them, I think we have to consolidate more in Colombia before starting to look for other areas. You are right in that search of geographies. Evidently, the presence of Cementos in Central America, the Caribbean, and in the southeast and south center of the United States is going to help us a lot of the definition of those territories for later growth. But I think the company is now developing and configuring and forming itself, so it would be risky to look for other geographies, and we would have to think of this in the view for the future. Thank you so much. Okay, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, with asterisk and number one for questions right now. The next question comes from the line of Luis Hernandez from Porvenir. Good day. My issue is focused to the question of Jairo from Colombia regarding the Sahen operation. Making some calculations, the Sahen proposal would be 70% because we cannot enter. That is not defined as mandatory. In OPA of 117 million pesos, the capacity of indebtedness of Grupo Argos is 1.6. At what point would you be able to increase the relationship of debt EBITDA, and what other vehicles are used of portfolio most for the EBITDA debt? How would you be able to raise it facing it again, and it would be done through Grupo Argos, or which other vehicle you could use for that issue? Yes, as we're commenting, Jairo, the final structure is going to depend a lot on the regulation and the conditions that come from the government. So it would be not good to give any information now of possible structures when we do not have yet, or we're in the phase of design of the same. But I want to say something. We, clearly this transaction, we're seeing that we would develop it with a set of companies that are part of our cluster of Grupo Argos, Cercia, and ERSA. So we have to see the combined capacity of the companies, must all the patrimonial capacity that Argos has, Grupo Argos, to carry on with an operation of this nature. Luisa, we are still awaiting for the regulation that is going to determine and mask the process to look for the best structure that maximizes our possibilities. If we are successful in that operation, and that is adequate to our financial capacities or capabilities. Thank you. The other question comes from Laura Sanamanca. Good morning. Thank you for the conference. I have two questions. The first is relating to Situm, and if I remember well, you announced that they had moved forward on the issue of the approval of CUT to obtain the licenses for construction of the first phase of the project, Barranquillo Caco Alto. So on the one hand, I would like to ask how you're going on getting the licenses to begin the construction of that first phase. And the second question I had was basically with COMPAS. Let's say that you were mentioning on the second and third trimester or quarter the issue of containers and the reduction of handling of containers, especially in the part of export and import. So now looking towards the future, what is the expectation that you have regarding the issue of containers to estimate what was the impact? Thank you very much. Lisa, good day. This is Camilo Bella. Regarding the first question, regarding the licensing of SIC, we have a satisfactory progress, and we have a general urban plan, GU, that will allow us to establish, based on the POP or the ordinance plan for the district of Barranquilla, the conditions to continue with the project as we have designed it, accepting some minor details. But nevertheless, at the same time that we obtained satisfactorily this license, we're discussing in the city the new ordainment plan. It's initially socialized. We do not anticipate that this goes against the design of our urban project, and on the other hand, that it interferes with future developments. This time, we're at ease with this licensing process. Thank you very much. And that I tell you about the issue of COMPAS regarding the volumes and the expectations that we have. If you look at our accumulated volumes to September, we made 16,900,000 tons. And right now we're 16,300,000 tons. So we have fallen 4%. If you see Cartagena, the fall is of almost 3 million tons. Basically, because of the defect of the containers, this transfer cargo that is being lost and that reduction of the shippers that are arriving to the Cartagena because of the effect, I say of the problems that Venezuela has in its port sector, where many shippers have not made the trip anymore because of the problems that are undergoing in that country. This has generated a fall in our Cartagena terminal in the area of containers, but we have compensated this strongly, especially in Barranquilla, where we have moved the coal cargo that we had in Cartagena, and we're also covering other new cargoes of more coal for other customers and the hydrocarbons that I mentioned that are going to be impacting strongly in this fourth trimester. So I would say if you want to imagine a projection, I would say that the tendency for containers is going to continue in Cartagena, but little by little we will compensate with other cargoes that are going to enter in the coming quarters with the upgrades that we're doing in Barranquilla, Tolu, and in Buenaventura, what I was telling you of a cargo of soda that we're going to be able to cover in some 4 or 5 months. So that is the perspective. And that is the advantage that Compass have, that when we have a multipurpose cargo, makes us very competitive. Thank you very much. And at this time, we do not have any further questions. I now give to the presenters to continue with the conference or any comments for closing. To all people assisting to this conference, the Grupo Argos and the people that are here with us, we thank you. And we invite you to participate in the conference next quarter. Greetings and have a good day. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we conclude today's conference. We thank you for your presence. You can now disconnect. Good afternoon.